It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is who's gonna run this town tonight. Who's gonna run this town tonight? We gonna run this town.
We are, yeah, I said it, we are. This is Rob.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agent, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the BFD Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Joe Jefferson, lead editor of BFDFantasyFootball.com. Thank you for joining us. Tonight is November 24th, 2015. Happy Thanksgiving week to everyone out there. We do appreciate everybody listening live and those downloading later, wherever you are. Again, we genuinely appreciate your support. For those who haven't, please do get on over to the website, bfdfantasyfootball.com. As our intro says, you are missing a ton of great content over there. We do have weekly rankings twice a week, free agent reports, probably most importantly, and my blog, and probably most importantly at this point, some daily game picks from Dave moving forward. Has those out on Saturday usually, but with the Thanksgiving day, I think he's promising us some picks for Thanksgiving. So really looking forward to that. With that, I'll bring on our co-host, Dave Terpoli, writer for BFDFantasyFootball.com and co-host for tonight. And as always, how you doing tonight?
No, I'm doing well. Ready for the holiday.
Awesome. You know, load up on some turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing, the usual, or what do you do for Thanksgiving?
Eat like a fat kid. We have it at my house. Probably like 20 people. Huge turkey. A lot of food. Always a good time.
No doubt. And then the food coma and football that comes with it.
Hopefully another draft together. Win. Here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, hopefully... you're rolling, and you know, Thanksgiving week, I think, is the week you've had some luck in the past. A couple of years ago, you qualified for their main fantasy football championship there. I think the grand prize was $1 million back then, but gosh, this year they're giving away $5 million to that grand prize. And again, check out our website. We do have a promo running with our partners at DraftKings.com. If you do start a new account with them from our homepage, you will save 50% on the remainder of the year with BFD. So take some of those picks and win some money over there. Hey, man, really heading down the stretch run here of fantasy football season. Hard to believe week 11 in the books. Week 12 on Thanksgiving Day, always so much fun because there really is so much at stake. Heading into the, after week 12, most people's last week of the regular season, week 13. You got any teams live here?
Yeah, I had a couple that are still in the running. A couple that got killed last week with a couple debacles in Philadelphia and San Diego offensively with players I had heavily invested in. It just came up a little short.
It was a feast or famine week.
I got a couple that are in some good spots. Don't forget New England, too. That was tough to watch offensively, especially the injuries are just decimating that offense right now and really hurting a couple good teams that I have with Gronk.
That's right. Like I said, it was kind of a hit or miss week. I had some teams that, had trouble scoring, 80, 85, 90 points. Some teams are scoring, 150, 160. So really kind of wild week. And another week of decimating injuries in 2015. That's where we'll kind of kick off the show with some of the injuries we're seeing around the league. Talk about some of the free agent implications. Still opportunity to improve your teams here down the stretch run. And finally, we'll move on to some DraftKings lineup. We got some time permitting there. Hey, man, want to kick it off with Denver here with Peyton Manning, looking like he's going to miss a next consecutive game because of the foot injury. You know, may miss multiple weeks, I suppose. Brock Osweiler, you know, here in Denver, we're ready to rock and roll, as they say. He looked pretty good, man. Honestly, I think he's the guy to roll with moving forward. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the Bronco coaches sort of play this out. But we saw a totally different Bronco offense with Brock at the helm, as I suspected. A lot more, you know, under the center snaps, moving the pocket around, you know, things of that nature with a much more spry live arm quarterback. What are you seeing? What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I had my doubts last week, but I mean, he had a really solid new game on the road against Chicago. I mean, he didn't set the world on fire, but realistically with that team, I mean, they have enough weapons where he really doesn't have to. They have great receivers. You know, they have enough tight ends that can make plays. The running game, you know, finally got on track a little bit. It's definitely, he definitely should be the quarterback for the rest of the season. I'm going to say that it's not going to happen. I mean, maybe if he goes to New England this week and gets a win, we might be talking a little different. But, I mean, if they don't win this week, I still think when Manning's ready to come back, he'll be their quarterback. I mean, if it's about winning, realistically, Osweiler probably should be your quarterback. But I just have a feeling it's not going to be, and they're going to let the pride get in the way. And Manning's going to be back in there in 2 weeks, unless, like I said, you know, they shocked the world a little bit this week, you know, and beat New England, you know, undefeated. Not that they're insurmountable right now, because we'll talk about later in the show, their offense is in shambles right now.
Yeah. Emmanuel Sanders, you know, keep in mind he did this without Emmanuel Sanders last week, confirming he was dealing with a high ankle sprain, but, you know, looks like he's recovering, and I would suspect he'll be out there for the big New England game. Opportunity for Brock to sort of shock the world here if he can pull it off. And like you said, I suppose that is ultimate test. He pulls this off, and I think the job has got to be his. But even if he goes down swinging here, I would suggest that he provides the best opportunity, specifically from a fantasy standpoint, but I think from a general football standpoint. But I suppose that's debatable. I think a lot of folks are thinking along the lines of, you know, Peyton resting up here for a couple of weeks and making a final run here into the sunset, which I think is, you know, awesome. And, you know, I suppose I'm going to root for them regardless. But you know, after seeing what he's been producing over the last year, it's just tough to think you're going to see something substantially different. Moving off of Denver. Now, Joe Flacco out for the year, tears the ACL and MCL, but stuck it out there. That was pretty awesome. But he's out for the year. Real decimating week out with the Ravens, because Justin Forsett also ends the season with a broken arm. After losing Steve Smith, the Ravens really just decimated. What do you expect to see from this offense moving forward?
A lot of chances to pick up defenses to play against them. I mean, because realistically, Matt Schaub's going to be your quarterback, and Matt Schaub has been done for years now. I mean, Buck Allen's definitely going to get the majority of the work. I mean, we all know the receiving core is in shambles right now. I mean, Kamar Aiken's been pretty solid the last couple of weeks, but I mean, Crockett Gilmore has another solid week last week, but we're talking about Joe Flacco, who I know we're both big fans of as a quarterback. I mean, the guy can make all the throws. I mean, he makes guys who are average Joes look a lot better than they really are. I mean, he's the leader. He's the heart and soul of the Ravens. I mean, you can't take Terrell Suggs earlier in the season. You can't take a Justin Forsett. You can't take a Steve Smith. You can't take a Joe Flacco away from a team and expect them to – I mean, they're 3-7, I believe, is the record. So it's not like they're going to the playoffs or anything, but – I just hope Flacco is ready for next season because, like I said, he's one of my favorite quarterbacks. But going forward, I mean, Matt Schaub is only even a thought process if you're in a two-quarterback starting league and you got a chance to pick him up. Buck Allen's probably the number one or two add this week behind, you know, Thomas Rawls in Seattle. just because running backs are just decimated all across the board this week, and he'll be cheap all across the board in daily leagues especially. But this team's in shambles right now, and if your defense, or you can pick up a defense for 1 or 2 weeks down the road, especially playoffs and, you know, championships coming down the road when you need to score points, I would pick up every defense that plays the Baltimore Ravens, no matter who they are, because Matt Schaub is a turnover waiting to happen.
Yeah, you don't think there's any chance he can protect the football, huh?
None. Zero.
You know, I suppose I'm giving him a little more, you know, potential veteran credit there. But, you know, I agree with you that Buck Allen is, you know, probably the true beneficiary of all this. And looks like a pretty solid add. You know, we talked about him earlier in the year, and I've been impressed with what I've seen with him. It's really too bad that he won't be able to play with Flacco, because, like you said, really a night and day difference there between a starter and bringing in Schaub. So, you know, certainly a major downgrade for the passing game. But, you know, Buck Allen, you know, I do have some faith in, and he should be pretty solid. Let's see here. Let's move on to some other quarterbacks here. Looks like Brian Hoyer, questionable with a concussion. Looks like he's going to be fine this week. What do you think about the Texans and Hoyer?
Brian Hoyer is probably the number one or two ranked quarterback this week for me on DraftKings. Number one, he has DeAndre Hopkins. Number two, he has DeAndre Hopkins. And number three, most importantly, he plays New Orleans Saints defense. That's really all you need to know. He'll be extremely cheap. I mean, Hoyer Hopkins should be one of the most popular, if not the popular, you know, combos this week in daily lineups. I would start Brian Hoyer with confidence in any league this week. I never thought those words would ever come out of my mouth.
That does sound funny, but the ultimate trifecta of logic there, Hopkins, and New Orleans. I love it. You know, so I'm on board. Hopkins is, boy, just been amazing. Highlight reel every week now, really kind of doing what ODB kind of did down the stretch last year, don't you think?
Totally agree. I mean, he is the best receiver right now in fantasy football. He's right there with Julio Jones, but I would still take him over Julio Jones and Antonio Brown right now. Antonio Brown's a close second, I guess. Julio's right there. I would take all three in a heartbeat, but Hopkins is just a target monster. I mean, it's crazy how many times they throw him the ball. I don't understand
how
defenses don't double him every time, because, I mean, if Cecil Shorts and Nate Washington scare you, you got a lot more to worry about than normal defense.
Yeah, I'm sure they're doubling him in a fair amount, but like you said, why is it just not every play having somebody over the top of him? Just makes some sense with their lack of other weapons. Let's see, Chase Keenum in St. Louis could play this week. Any upside in the Rams' offense there in the passing game?
If your name is not Todd Gurley, I'm not using anybody on the Rams' offense. I mean, realistically, Tavon Austin's a deep, deep guy if you really want to get a little crazy. But, I mean, Case Keenum, if he plays, does he excite you? No. If Nick Foles starts, I mean, he just got benched for Case Keenum. So that answer is no. I mean, it's Todd Gurley, and Todd Gurley has to be downgraded a little bit too, just because teams are starting to realize they got no passing game. They got no quarterback. So Gurley's numbers has definitely been down when realistically with a consistent quarterback right now, he'd probably easily be the number one or two ranked running back right now.
Let's see, moving on to some running back news. We talked about Justin Forsett. You know, Ryan Matthews out with your Eagles. Didn't play last week with a concussion, didn't practice today. You know, hasn't cleared the protocol. I suppose with a short week playing against Detroit, his status is uncertain. Any thoughts there?
I mean, Matthews definitely won't play. I mean, another guy who we'll probably mention later, Zach Ertz, he passed the first step of concussion protocol, but we're talking about a short week. Highly doubtful you'll see him either. I mean, Brent Celek's a guy that will probably be a heavily, heavily owned guy on Thanksgiving in daily leagues, and a guy I would start with confidence in regular leagues, especially in tight end heavy leagues, just because realistically they're running out of bodies right now, and it's not like they had many bodies to start outside of Jordan Matthews. So, I mean, I would expect Ryan Matthews definitely will not be in the lineup. Darren Sproles is a guy that if you got him, I would use him. I think it's a good matchup for him against Detroit. Murray obviously is a starter. You got to use him. He should get 20 touches. Why he didn't get more touches against Tampa Bay is just shocking to me. The Chip Kelly bandwagon is getting a lot lighter.
Yeah, what's up with Jordan Matthews? Just getting nothing.
I mean, realistically, he's just not a number one receiver right now in his career. They're just not getting the ball enough, and they have nobody else. I mean, Miles Austin plays 30-plus snaps on your team. I mean, that's a disgrace. I mean, and there's really no way around that. I could probably go on an Eagles rant for probably about 3 hours, but we don't have enough time for that. That's how bad their offense is, how bad that effort was. I was in the stadium when they played Tampa Bay, and it was a complete and utter disgrace. And that's a G-rated version of really what I want to say.
Yeah, you know, Darren Sproles probably the real only beneficiary of this and, you know, getting sort of promoted in the offense and getting additional touches with Ryan Matthews out. You know, provided a solid fantasy day last week. I expect the same, don't you?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Chandrick West, day-to-day, could be a multiple-week injury with a hamstring, but what do you make of the Chiefs offense?
I mean, Spencer Ware is probably a guy, again, we'll mention soon with the waiver pickup. He's probably the number two or three ad right now, again, by the guys we mentioned already. Chiefs are playing, they're playing good football right now. I mean, nobody on their team is really lighting it up, so it's tough from a fantasy perspective. I mean, Macklin, Kelsey, I mean, guys who, I mean, it's Andy Reid, so anything's possible. I mean, realistically, if West plays, which I don't think he's going to, he hasn't been ruled out yet, but, I mean, it'll be the Spencer Ware show. Niall Davis has been inactive, so he's kind of an afterthought right now in that offense. Alex Smith will never be a fantasy starter, and they play a tough Bills team, so realistically, it's a running Spencer Ware, I guess, would be the guy that you would add. If you're adding him, you're starting him this week. I don't really see there being any way around that against a really, really important game in the AFC this week with two teams fighting for that last playoff spot.
Are you surprised they never turned to Niall Davis throughout this?
It's the guy just falling
that
out of favor.
That Ware is even like the guy now.
It's shocking to even say because, I mean, last year Niall Davis was the guy when Jamal Sirus was the guy. What happened in a year? I mean, I heard of West a little bit in the preseason, but, I mean, Spencer Ware, no idea who he was. I mean, not that I expected Niall Davis to, you know, once you're clearly getting booted as the backup, that pretty much means you're just falling down the depth chart. But, I mean, it's Andy Reid. Anything's possible.
Yeah, that's right. Moving along, Marshawn Lynch still dealing with the abdomen, not expected to play this next week, according to Pete Carroll. So, really impressive week out of their backfield. What do you expect that to continue?
I actually just read a report while I'm sitting here saying he's going to be out a couple weeks. I mean, it's not confirmed yet, but it's looking like you know, multiple-week injury to see if he's going to need season-ending surgery. That's humongous in the fantasy world right now because if you you had Marshawn Lynch, you should have had Thomas Rawls on the team. Realistically, I mean, I always say if you got a big-time running back, if his backup's available, you got to own him just as protection, especially this year and what a crazy year it's been. Fred Jackson's a guy you got to own this week. I mean, you got to own him for the rest of the season if Lynch is out for a long period of time. But, I mean, you saw what Rawls did last week, and, I mean, he was a monster. I mean, he's a guy that most people didn't even think of and won people a ton of money all across the board. So if he's available, he is by far leaps and bounds above everyone else as a number one ad this week.
No doubt. After that explosive performance last week, Rawls is the man. And like you said, it could, you know, certainly is going to extend through week 12, but it could be extended with Lynch dealing with that abdomen injury. Let's see here. Looking at some other, out in Chicago, Forte's been out. Kadeem Carey left the game last week. Really leaving the door wide open. You expect that to continue?
I mean, Langford has been extremely, extremely impressive. A lot more impressive than I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be solid, but I mean, he really has a chance to cut into Forte's. And it could be a split backfield when he comes back. Matt Forte's a guy I like this week, though. I really think that he will be undervalued because of the injury in daily, in DraftKings, of course. Obviously, if Matt Forte's back in season long, you're starting him. I mean, I don't see how you don't. But I really think people will be scared away a little bit more from Forte in a game against Green Bay. I like him. I know he's the most expensive running back, but realistically this week, if you look at a lot of the Thanksgiving games, there's not a lot of guys that you like last year that stand out and say you need to have him on a team. I mean, because it's really scattered across the board. I mean, you look at some of the guys who are available. I mean, Dez Bryant, the most popular name. You're looking at Josh Norman going to be covering him all game. So I mean, that game could be Dez Bryant could be a hit or miss real quick. I mean, even with Romo back. I mean, the list goes on of players, but this is definitely a Thanksgiving, three game where you can, if you want to fade the Packers, because the Packers are going to be the most heavily owned team, I would say the Packers and Lions, it could be wide open.
Yeah, I was taking a look at that. Like you said, there's not a ton of guys to spend your money on, so it should make for an interesting Thanksgiving day where, DraftKings is running, games, qualifiers and things just on that day. So pretty interesting to look at, all the different types of matchups you can have just in those three games. Where were we here? Backup running backs. Tywan Jones out. What do you expect with the Raiders running back and offense moving forward?
I mean, realistically, the offense has been a disappointment. Last week was a disgrace. I mean, being at the game, I really didn't see much of the game. I watched a little bit of it, Monday morning before I went to work. And that was disgraceful. I mean, Amari Cooper, one catch for 4 yards. Derek Carr was number one. He was number one owned quarterback, I believe, on DraftKings, and just fell flat on his face. They didn't have one passing touchdown that whole game. I mean, total shock there. I mean, the Detroit Lions are not a good football team. We know the Raiders are not a good football team. I mean, they have a couple playmakers, but, I mean, definitely the most disappointing game of the week, in my opinion, from a fantasy perspective. When many of us thought that game would be the highest scoring game by far, it was just a complete dud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have confidence in them moving forward?
I mean, I think their offense is good enough. And with Crabtree, Cooper, Murray, I mean, Derek Carr is still a player. I mean, they're realistically just giving away a chance to probably, make a shot at a playoff bid. I mean, they play the Titans this week. They're not a good football team. So, I mean, they should be able to put points up. But, I mean, with Derek Carr and Cooper, I mean, you're going to get some inconsistency. It's just a question of hopefully they didn't hit a little bit of a wall or hit a little bit of a lull in the season and they can still put up numbers, because a lot of guys are dependent on them, coming into playoffs and coming into, big money time.
That's right. Dexter McCluster took a nasty kind of hit to his knee there. Should be out a few weeks. Just consolidate the ridiculously thinly sliced running back situation in Tennessee.
It's the Antonio Andrews show still. I mean, David Kyle got a couple carries on the Thursday night game. I think he had -3 yards rushing. So, I mean, he's a stash and hope and pray, and maybe he breaks a couple, long runs where they give him some more carries. But I don't see that happening, to be honest with you. I just think this is going to be an Antonio Andrews ugly type of, maybe he scores a cheap touchdown here and there, 2, 3, 4, 5 yard touchdown. I think that's the best you're going to get from that running game, because
he's really kind of a 3 yards in a cloud of dust kind of runner,
Yeah, you're not going to break away speed from the guy. I mean, realistically, I would punt that whole running back position. I mean, I don't see any value whatsoever. There's no ceiling in them guys. You're only starting them if you're desperate.
Yeah, Dexter, you know, probably a desperation play, but, you know, because he caught the ball, had some little bit of upside, but that's gone now, at least for several weeks. We didn't talk about Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago. Missed the game last week. Looks like, you know, should be back this week. Was limited in practice today, or I'm sorry, yeah, today and yesterday. What do you think about Jeffrey?
Definitely the gamble of the week on DraftKings. The last game
of Thanksgiving Day.
I mean, just you're rolling the dice because, I mean, he should be out there. They said he's going to probably be out there. He was limited in practice today with Matt Forte. And realistically, if he plays, in my opinion, he should be the number one owned player on Thanksgiving. Just for the fact that he's a target monster and Green Bay should be up in that game. So he should just be getting force-fed the ball. But the risk is there. If you're going to go after a guy like that, I mean, he literally could be out in one play. So the dangerous, he's definitely the risk-reward guy on Thanksgiving that could either win you a ton of money or bankrupt all your teams. I'm gambling on him. He would be my number one owned player.
Yeah, man, I like that. And like you said, you know, I guess the only downside is he's playing in that late game. So you have to be committed and have some alternatives there in that late game. But there are some alternatives with, you know, a couple of Green Bay receivers and even Wilson stepping up last week.
Definitely recommend if you're going to use Alshon Jeffrey. I mean, this is probably a tip that most people know, but put him as your flex player because you can move him out for running backs, receivers, tight ends. Don't get stuck in that wide receiver position because you're cutting your losses of guys you can put in there. I mean, realistically, Randall Cobb is the only price point that'll be close. I mean, you'll be looking at a guy like Devontae Adams, Marquise Wilson. Not that they're not good targets or whatever, but still. Give yourself the
James
option.
Jones.
You know, Matt Forte, Eddie Lacy, you know, guys like that. Martellus Bennett, if you really need to. Give yourself his maximum options instead of just putting him in the receiver slot and being stuck with it.
Agreed, man. I'm shocked at how many people don't play the flex player as the last guy of the day to, or the day of the weekend to play. And
really
I look
shocking.
At it as kind of a rookie kind of move. Let's see, a lot of other, you know, sort of backup. I guess Malcolm Floyd is a guy to keep your eye on. Didn't play last week, you know, won't probably play this weekend, but, you know, guy that may be coming back and, you know, with that offense looking so anemic, there's a possibility that, you know, they could flash moving forward, don't you think? You're still writing off the M80. What do you got?
I wrote them off 2 weeks ago, and I'm not writing them back in. I mean, I don't know. Dontrell Emmons, I mean, he didn't really show much, but he really isn't that good of a player. I mean, it's pretty much Stevie Johnson. Antonio Gates is clearly banged up. He clearly wasn't ready after the bye. But Darius Clean clearly isn't 100%. So, I mean, right now, Danny Woodhead, that's just shocking to me, his line against the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you're talking about a team that got beat up bad. Pretty much got their ass beat in layman's terms. It was ugly. I mean, and for usually Danny Woodhead's great for some garbage points, and yeah, you know, that was tough to watch. I mean, I actually feel bad for Phillip Rivers because that team has been destroyed by injuries too. Between the offensive line, the anemic running game, I mean, Melvin Gordon has been a bust so far. I mean, Keenan Allen, the offensive line, you know, the tight ends have been banged up. It's been a really, really tough year in San Diego.
Yeah, that's right. You know, disappointing week all around. I had a couple disappointments with Woodhead and Gates, pretty much all around Rivers. Do expect them to have some better days. Can't imagine they're going to have days where they can only put up 3 points against defenses like Kansas City's moving forward. You know, other backup receivers, Hawkins, still in the Andrew Hawkins in Cleveland, still in the concussion protocol, might return after their bye this week. Philly Brown may be forced to miss another week because of the short week. I don't know, Devin Funchess, you know, guy who's coming on. Talk about him and Cam Newton's 5-touchdown performance.
He should be the guy, I mean, going forward. I mean, we've been talking all season somebody's got to emerge there, and he looks like he's going to be the guy later in the season. I mean, last couple of weeks he's been very impressive. I mean, I'm definitely on board with it. I've been a Panther hater all season. At 10-0, I'm still a Panthers hater. I'll still take the team they play in the first round of the playoffs to beat them. I'm just not sold on them. I think that eventually Cam Newton, realistically, in my opinion, he's the second behind Tom Brady. He's the second running for the MVP, and he's neck and neck with him because he is the heart and soul of that team. And if you took Cam Newton away, just like you take Tom Brady away, I mean, both teams are maybe a two-win teams. They beat the piss out of the Redskins. That really shouldn't be a shocking thing there, but they destroyed, you know, Seattle, and you know, when they came back and pretty much ripped their hearts out at Seattle, and then the big win against Green Bay. I mean, they're playing great football right now. They're 10-0. You can't not give them credit, but I'm just not a buyer. I don't think they're a team that I really would fear in the playoffs. Realistically, in the NFL, if you figure out a way to get in the playoffs this year more than any other year, especially with all the injuries in New England, anybody can win the Super Bowl. There's not one team right now that stands out, even with the two 10-0 teams, that I could say is like leaps and bounds better than anybody else.
That's right, man. The parity in the NFL and the product they provide is really awesome and fun to watch, and provides for compelling games down the stretch and in the playoffs. Like you said, anything can happen. Teams can get hot and put some things together. You know, Pittsburgh,
Giants.
Somebody can put it together. Yeah.
I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is definitely a team you don't want to play in the playoffs.
No doubt. Let's see, moving on to some tight ends. We talked about Zach Ertz, looking like he probably won't play the short week. Larry Donnell returned to practice. Anything more than a total flyer there?
That's a wild, wild flyer. I mean,
It's
been really hard at tight end. The tight end position has really been really bipolar lately.
Mm-hmm.
Even top heavy guys. Gronk, Greg Olsen.
Gronk not putting up a very good number. Shows that even if
not really his fault either, but I mean, teams are just going to take him out of the game. And if they didn't, their defensive coordinator should be fired the rest of the season. Gronk should never have a big game the rest of the season. They literally should double him every play.
Seriously, especially with all the injuries at receiver.
Think about the starting receivers this week in New England are going to be Brandon LaFell, who is Brandon LaFell. I mean, he's a solid NFL receiver, but he's not a number one or, frankly, a number two.
And he's still not quite to form yet from, only got a couple games under his belt yet.
And don't forget undrafted rookie Chris Harper, who, I mean, I know Tom Brady's great, but his offensive line, I read a stat today that he got hit 20 times last night.
That's crazy. So, Amendola and Dobson both out.
Dobson's definitely out. Amendola is not ruled out, but I don't see any. Why would they even think about putting him out there? I mean, I know they play Denver, and it's a real tough. You know, obviously it's a big game, but I realistically think their defense should do enough work against Osweiler that could at least make that game a field goal game where they steal it late. That game's definitely not going to be the shootout that we thought it was going to be. I'll tell you that right now.
No doubt. Well, you know, huge game for Brock Osweiler. What a golden opportunity for him.
Absolutely. He goes in there and beats New England at home. I mean, they'll forget about Peyton Manning real quick.
Oh, man, and it's not totally out of the question. Just FYI.
Could you imagine now? You're a Denver guy.
It's not out of the question. You know, like
and
I said last
next week. We'll say that they're 3-0 with him starting, and they go back to Peyton Manning afterwards. Could you imagine?
Yeah, man, the conundrum, the divide that's going to be in my football town could be interesting. But, man, I'm rooting for him. Like I said, I'm ready to Brock and roll.
He impressed me.
Yeah, no, he impressed me too. And again, without Emmanuel Sanders. Buccaneers, God, ASJ, we feel like I talk about him every week. Austin Sverre Jenkins, hearing some reports, according to Sports Exchange, should be, you know, good chance of playing this week against Indy. They do get Vincent Jackson. I was kind of surprised by that. Got in there and got a touchdown. Their offense looked pretty damn good. What do you think?
I was there. It was really, really hard to watch. I mean, their offense looked like they were a juggernaut. And, you know, I've been a Jameis Winston hater all season. I still don't back off that statement, but he absolutely embarrassed that team. Five touchdowns. I mean, pretty much was in control the whole game.
I mean, you get 200 yards rushing behind you. It helps a lot, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Doug Martin was a beast. I mean, I don't think it's ever going to happen again. I wouldn't, you know, buy your Jameis Winston Super Bowl tickets because I'm still not a buyer. I mean, they got a lot of weapons, but I still can't get behind Jameis Winston. Even watching him live gut my team.
That's funny. All right, so we're holding off on booking those Super Bowl tickets.
At least for a couple
years. Moving on to free agents. Talk about some guys that can help some fantasy teams. We talked about a lot of these guys. We'll talk about them just a little bit more here. Like you said, Thomas Rawls, really the number one guy. If he's available anywhere, you go out and get him. Looking like he's going to get at least one more start, probably multiple starts, though, if I'm betting on it. Anything to add there? I mean, the guy looked like a stud and, you know, a run first, very good offense and team. Gotta love it.
He's number one ad, and it's not even close. If you got money left to bid on him, bid everything on him, I mean, there's really not even a question. I mean, I don't know how anybody has bidding money left unless you were sleeping the first 10 weeks of the season, because free agency this year is, I mean, the first couple of weeks were a little slow, but in the last, like, 6-7 weeks, I mean, literally there's been 2 or 3 guys every week to pick up that have been viable assets to your fantasy team. So it's been a tough year with injuries, and if you got money left and you're still alive, he is the number one ad by far. And Fred Jackson, a secondary ad that I would add too.
You know, most of my teams have very little money, but I will say I do have a couple teams who were just, you know, I think solid in a lot of spots, just didn't need to spend, you know, put in bids, but still got some money. And, you know, some teams with some money could be well served this week. Yeah, I agree with you there. Fred Jackson also has a little bit of value, also worth an ad. You know, the number two guy, I think, probably without any doubt, is Buck Allen, Javorius Allen. I prefer Buck, great football name. Again, we've talked about him. He's been impressive. You know, unfortunate that he doesn't get the benefit of a better quarterback and a better offense, but should be getting plenty of touches, don't you think?
He'll be getting probably 20-plus touches a game. I really don't see any other reason not to give him them touches. He's definitely the number two pickup this week in all positions. Go get him just out of if you just need depth. I mean, most guys who are, you know, I know a couple teams I have, smaller teams, I'm really running back, you know, damaged with injuries. He'll be a guy I'll be starting and starting with confidence.
Let's see.
Don't forget that big-time Monday night game this week, probably the biggest Monday night game of the season. Josh McCown-led Cleveland Browns versus the Matt Schaub-led Baltimore Ravens.
There you go.
I think you fell asleep when I told you that.
Yeah, exactly. I heard the music and, glazed over there. Looking for some other guys, because those two guys, I mean, just really stand out. I guess next would probably, you know, be in my mind Spencer Ware, you know, with West looking like he'll probably be out, and Nile Davis just really, you know, inactive even last couple of weeks. So, you know, oh, how the mighty have fallen there. You got to think, where's the next man up? And plenty of touches there and PPR perspective as well, don't you think?
Definitely. I mean, if West is out, it's Ware's show. I mean, he's going to get plenty of work. I would add him another guy with confidence this week. I mean, they play the Bills. They're very tough defense, but they're a little banged up and they're on a short week. So that's a spot where Ware could be a guy that will be very valuable for you the rest of the season if West misses any serious time.
Gosh, you think they'll get the ball? I mean, do you think they'll go back to Davis at all? I mean,
no.
Got to think he'll be in uniform at least.
He'd be in uniform, but I mean, if he's not in uniform, I mean, you pretty much got your answer. I think it's going to be the Ware show, but Andy Reid, you never know.
Mm-hmm. Some guys talking about Tevin Coleman. Devonta Freeman's been a beast, but suppose there's a chance he might not be cleared, but suspect that he will be, don't you?
I expect him to be out there, but Tevin Coleman's a guy that's probably available on 75% of your waiver wires. I would pick him up based on pure speculation alone. Concussions, you just never know. Most, you know, reports out of Atlanta early in the week are saying Freeman should be ready, but if he's not, I mean, at home against the Vikings, it could be a, you know, a Tevin Coleman spot start, and spot starts are some of the best, you know, for you because, you know, especially in the daily leagues, because you can, you know, use your money elsewhere. And this week you could have a laundry list of teams, you know, from Spencer Ware to Thomas Rawls to Allen to possibly Tevin Coleman. I mean, you're looking at guys who are real, real cheap at the running back position.
You know, sticking with some running backs, guys that probably shouldn't be available, Alfred Blue has a pretty solid week. You like him moving forward?
I mean, I guess I like him because he's a starting running back, but that's really it. I mean,
yeah,
he's going to lead.
Not a sexy running back, but like
he's definitely not a sexy running back.
Touches.
You would think that we got to start depending on him more because he really is the only guy there that really has shown anything ever. I mean, Chris Polk has been, you know, hype, even when he was in Philly. And, you know, since Arian Foster, everybody said it was going to be Chris Polk, you know, was going to take the job, but he's really done nothing. He's banged up. So, I mean, Alfred Blue is definitely the guy. And we mentioned earlier with Brian Hoyer, they play the New Orleans Saints this week. So I don't see any reason why if Alfred Blue is on your team and you got a spot for him, that he shouldn't be in a lineup because.
Yeah, nice spot start.
Absolutely.
Antonio Andrews, we talked about him already. He probably shouldn't be available anywhere. Guy I talked a little bit about, Sean Drone, you know, gets a nice spot start last week, played 91% of the snaps, showed some ability catching the football. You know, so, you know, when they're trailing and like they should be, you know, every week moving forward, he'll be, you know, reasonable if Hyde's out extended. What do you think?
I started in a couple places last week, and it rewarded me. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to ever set the world on fire. I wouldn't expect, you know, high ceiling numbers, but, I mean, if a guy like that can get you 12 to, you know, 17, you know, points in a PPR league, I think you're taking
a
smile.
God forbid he gets you a touchdown, you know.
If he gets you a touchdown, I mean, 91% of the snaps, like you said, I mean, how many running backs in the NFL right now are playing 91% of the snaps? The answer is probably maybe one, and that might be pushing it. I mean, I don't even think Adrian Peterson, Todd Gurley, and them type of guys play 91% of the snaps.
Oh,
so,
certainly,
I mean,
not Gurley.
On a team that's in shambles like on San Francisco, I mean, we all know they're going to be behind. I mean, I don't care if Blaine Gabbert threw for 250 yards against Seattle. He stinks, and he is no good. So, I mean, dump offs will be flowing again this week against Arizona. So, Drone's a guy.
It was only other. His only other competition, you know, Hyde, obviously. But other than that, I mean, you got Travis Kadet, Kendall Gaskins. These guys only played a couple snaps, you know. So,
and you
got to
ask yourself, why would San Francisco risk Hyde? I mean, not that Hyde's like the second coming of Adrian Peterson, but, I mean, they're not going anywhere. So, unless he's 100%, why put him out there?
Agreed. Amir Abdullah, is he worth an ad?
I don't see how he is. I mean, he's another guy like that we said, like a wild card on Thanksgiving. I mean, Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah, one of them guys could win you a lot of money because we all know the defense, you know, the Philadelphia defense has been a little skeptical lately. So they both could be sneaky players, but which one do you use? I mean,
yeah.
Joyke Bell, I mean, you throw him out there. I mean, you saw what Doug Martin just did to this defense. So which one of those running backs do you use? That could be the million-dollar question. If it's me, I'm gambling with Theo Riddick. I mean, I just think he's a dynamic playmaker, personally. I think they should get him the ball more. I think it should be the Abdullah Riddick show, personally. I mean, Abdullah's having trouble fumbles, you know, all season, but from the beginning of the season, he was the second coming of, you know, the next breakout star at running back, and now he's nothing more than a jobber. And that's, I didn't think I would say that this year, even with a rookie running back.
You know, it's funny you say that because I totally agree. The offense is much more dynamic with Abdullah and Riddick as their two main running backs and sticking with just kind of a pass-heavy attack. And I agree with you as well that, you know, Riddick's the guy that I'll take a shot with on Thanksgiving if anybody in that backfield. Charles Sims, another guy we talked about in the past, continues to make plays, catching the ball, so shouldn't be available anywhere. James White only gets a couple touches, makes the most of them, looks to be the guy potentially with some rising value there in New England. You changing your tune on White at all?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to change your tune because right now, I mean, like I said, we'll talk about it in about a couple of minutes about the disaster of the New England receiving corps right now. I mean, I don't even know who they're third for. I mean, they got to sign people this week because if Dobson and Amendola missed the game, I mean, you're talking about two healthy receivers and Keyshawn Martin. We don't know if he's going to be back. And even if he is, I mean, who the heck's Keyshawn Martin? What's he ever done in this league? So, I mean, a guy like James White could easily be I'm surprised he didn't play more snaps. I mean, that offense looked really, 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 really bad against Buffalo. They were lucky to get out of there with a win. If Buffalo just a couple bonehead moves here and there and just busted coverages, I mean, Buffalo should have won that game last night. Their offense didn't do anything with them, didn't do anything to help them. Targeting Sammy Watkins zero times in the first half is just mystifying to me.
Yeah, they are committing or talking about giving lip service to the idea of getting him the ball more. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. I do expect that they will. Sticking on some running backs here, Ahmad Bradshaw shouldn't be available anywhere. Popped last week. Darren Sproles popped last week. Shouldn't be available, in my opinion, anywhere, especially with Matthews kind of on the shelf. Andre Ellington making plays. Looks like he's potentially in line for some more touches, but, you know, kind of a, again, another situation that's divided so many ways between CJ 2K and David Johnson. Chris Thompson, the other guy we talked about, shouldn't be available anywhere. Matt Jones. Isaiah Crowell worth rostering?
I mean, it's really Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson. I mean, I like the offense a lot better. I mean, I'm a Manziel supporter, but obviously he likes partying and hanging out on social media. So,
you know, yeah, he saw shots of him with, like, champagne in the club, you know, this week.
I mean, I personally, you know, for my thing, I don't really think there's anything wrong with it, but, I mean, they just gave you the chance to win the job the rest of the season. I mean, there's got to be a time
risk it.
A little bit. I mean, I don't have any problem with him partying, but, like, I mean, it's not like you're a secure – it's not like you're Tom Brady or not like you're Russell Wilson – or, you know, Big Ben, when you can get away with that because you're the clear-cut leader. I mean, you're a guy that they're giving you 6-7 games to earn your job and possibly, you know, earn the quarterback of the future. And you pretty much just gave that away. I mean, Josh McCown makes Gary Barnage, who's pretty much been irrelevant, and Travis Benjamin, you know, who's kind of been under the radar, relevant again against, you know, that marquee, you know, Monday night game we keep talking about.
David Johnson, a guy I told you I've been rostering a little bit. Now it looks like I'm probably going to keep holding on to him. Good Lord. You know, maybe worth an ad in your league. Jay Ajayi, you know, also probably worth an ad. Any other kind of like deeper stash and hope kind of guys you want to mention or give a shout out to at running back here?
Realistically, you're in trouble right now. If you're
Belial Powell, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, Powell I used actually in a spot last year. I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought the Jets would blow him out and he'd be getting a lot of garbage time. It actually was the opposite, so I guess I'm okay with that. Robert Turbin is a guy that,
yeah.
I mean, Darren McFadden, obviously he's been healthy this year and he's been running great, but You still can't trust him not getting hurt. I mean, the way he runs.
Oh, great call, man. Turbin would be next man up. Turbin would be next man up, and he's probably available
he's
in a lot
guy,
of spots.
So, I mean, it's pretty much Turbin, so he's definitely worth
great
an
call.
Ad. I
great
mean,
call, buddy. Let's move on to some receivers. Devin Funchess, guy probably shouldn't be available anywhere now that he looks like he's starting to emerge.
Yeah, he's probably the number one ad. I mean, he should have been picked up.
Gonna name just a handful of guys here. Probably shouldn't be available anywhere. Certainly Michael Floyd, Kendall Wright, Kamar Aiken, Marvin Jones, Terrence Williams with Romo back, caught a touchdown last week. Leonard Hankerson, even, I think, is a guy who might be available, still in some spots, came back last week, looked pretty strong. Again, I think they need him. I've mentioned that before. Getting into some guy, Dorrell Green-Beckham, Reuben Randall, you know, all guys are probably taken, but certainly worth ads. Cecil Shorts, probably worth an ad, don't you think? What do you think?
Yeah, he's definitely worth an ad. I would look at him if you're desperate.
Ted Ginn, Tyler Lockett, nice week last week. Two touchdowns.
Way too consistent the roster with Seattle. You just never know.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, again, if you're desperate, though, I feel like he's a gamble we're taking on a weekly basis. You know, now that he's shown that he can put up a multiple touchdown game, still not a huge game number wise, right? He had 4 catches for 48 yards with those 2 touchdowns. So, other than the 2 touchdowns, 2 catches for not a lot of yards. But a dynamic playmaker who's worth rostering at the end of your roster. Marquez Wilson, Jeffrey, especially if Jeffrey and Royal continue to be banged up. You know, posted a 100-yard game and only 4 catches last week. Dontrell Inman, a guy we've talked about in the past, who's probably still worth the ad if he's still available out there anywhere. Dwayne Harris is a guy who's given me a decent spot start out in, for the Giants. Jamison Crowder. What do you think about J.J. Nelson? Is he worth an ad?
I like J.J. Nelson this week. I expect him to have a really, and he's a guy you're not going to spend a lot of money on, but I expect them to really be cautious with Don Brown and Michael Floyd. I mean, they play San Francisco this week. They should be able to beat San Francisco without him, with Larry Fitzgerald and Nelson, who popped off last week. I like him this week. I would add him and start him under the radar.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, last week I was kind of mentioning Jerron Brown, but really non-factor. J.J. Nelson really looks like that guy, so go out and get him. I agree. Anybody else at receiver getting deep? Cody Ladmer, I suppose. If
finally made some plays. I mean, I've been waiting for that for 2 years.
Not many, though. Good Lord, he get the touchdown. So I suppose that's what. Yeah, he got a touchdown from Brock. So I suppose that's he's on the radar. But can't expect much. Only with Sanders or Thomas out.
Definitely been a mega disappointment. I expected a lot more from him.
Yeah, he really has been. And honestly, you know, there's other options on the roster even if we were to have major injuries there. But, you know, still, you know, him and Brock may have a connection, playing some second-team reps for so many years, for a couple of years here. Anybody else a receiver you think worth mentioning? Is Brian Hartline worth rostering?
No.
anybody else you can mention? Nate Washington? Certainly
Nate Washington, I mean, possibly. I mean, again, this week they play the New Orleans Saints, if I haven't mentioned that enough on the show so far. So if it's Nate Washington or DeSean Jackson, I'll take Nate Washington.
Move on to some tight ends. We talked about Crockett Gilmore as a guy to add. So if he's out there, like him, I suppose with the quarterback change, could affect that, but Gilmore looks like the guy there and worth an ad and probably a decent free agent pickup at this point, don't you think?
I added him everywhere 3 weeks ago, and he hasn't disappointed. Yeah. Losing Joe Flacco is really going to hurt.
Kobe Fleener might still be available. Again, I like him with Hasselbeck at the helm. Eric Ebron, I suppose, might be available. Vernon Davis, you know, looks like he had a flash with Brock at the helm. I suppose he's worth an ad. Over Owen Daniels. Doubt Heath Miller's available. You know, again, ASJ, Austin Seferian Jenkins. Got to think he's got to be close. Got to think he's worth rostering at this point, don't you think, or no?
I mean, we've been saying this for 3 weeks on the show, how he's going to be.
God, I think four or five, really.
It's been tough. I mean, I think he's almost – he got me. If he don't play this week, he's almost cuttable.
Still holding on to that lottery ticket in a couple of leagues where I'm hungry for
a tight end. I love a good lottery ticket, but, I mean, there's so much to hold on to.
Yeah, that egg may never hatch. But, you know, again, with that offense kind of clicking, still intriguing to me. Brent Celek, like you said, could be a good spot start. I like that call. Any other tight ends you think are available might be an add?
Not many right now. I mean, that would probably be the guys. Brent Celek's probably the number one add this week, if mostly just for a spot start. You know, with Zach Ertz probably missing the game.
Yeah, going to quarterback, Jay Cutler's probably not available. Winston's a guy who might be available in some spots still, so got to like him as an add. Mariota's probably not available in a lot of spots.
Brian Hoyer.
Looks like the solid add this week, along with my boy Brock Osweiler is what I'll suggest.
Absolutely. Don't forget Josh McCown, too, on Monday night. People will be sleeping.
There you go. I like that. You know, otherwise, you're dealing with guys who probably shouldn't be available. You know, again, maybe a Fitzpatrick. I don't know. Even he's losing his luster with some of these other names I think we're mentioning. Sanchez worth anything?
I mean, I guess. I mean, it's really hard to, like, get behind him. I mean,
yeah, it'd be tough to really think about starting him as a
total shambles right now. But, I mean, I guess he could do worse. But, I mean, there's probably 15 or 16 or 17 quarterbacks that start over him.
All right, only about a minute left. What do you got on DraftKings here? Early in the week, we're kind of in a weird week where, you know, you got to start thinking about it early because with the Thursday action.
It's a big Thanksgiving game. I mean, there's going to be so many unknowns. I mean, running backs are – there's not really one outside DeMarco Murray that really stands out, Darren McFadden, but they played Carolina. So, I mean, I'm going to release tomorrow, you know, my picks for the week head-to-head and just, you know, the guys I like. So, hopefully you can spark magic on Thanksgiving and win a ton of money.
All right, buddy. You know, heading down the stretch here, we're going to wish everybody luck. Hopefully you've given yourself an opportunity, set yourself up for an opportunity for some success down the stretch. Again, we are really in the middle of the stretch run here. You know, again, next week probably being the most important week we've had this season, heading into the last week of the regular season for most contests. A lot of the leagues I'm in are amazingly tight. You know, a lot of teams still in the running for a lot of great championships out there. So good luck to everyone as we head into week 12. I'm not afraid. Yeah. And don't be afraid to take a stand.
I guess I had to go
tell you what, at BFT, we're never afraid. Have a great night, everyone.
Now, some of you might still be in that place. Trying to get out. Just follow me. I'll get you.
You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them. But you won't take this thing out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. When I say I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me. So fuck the world, Peter Beans. It's cashed up. Everything's just stopping me. I'm gonna be what I set out to be. Without a doubt, undoubtedly. And all those who look down on me, I'm tearing down your balcony. No way fans are bluffs. I'm trying to ask him why, how can he? From Infinite down to the last relapse album. Whether he's on salary, paid hourly, until he piles out or he shits his piles out of him, whichever comes first, for better or worse. He's married to the game, like a fuck you for Christmas. His gift is a curse. Forget the earth, he's got the urge to pull his dick from the dirt. It's fuck the whole you.
Get over to BFTFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agent, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.